Welcome to PS Pod. I'm Alana Webster, Deputy Managing Editor for the ASCPT family of journals. My guests today are Dr. Jonathan French, Senior Advisor at Johnson & Johnson Innovative Medicine and Associate Editor for Pharmacometrics and Systems Pharmacology, Dr. Phyllis Chan, Distinguished Scientist at Genentech, Dr. Monica Simeone, Director of Clinical Pharmacology Modeling and Simulation at GlaxoSmithKline, Dr. Matt Zierhut, Vice President, Integrated Drug Development at Certara, and Dr. Jiawei Zhou, Assistant Professor at the University of North Carolina Eshelman School of Pharmacy and Editor in Training for PSP. Thank you all so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Lena.
PSP has recently issued a call for papers for an issue publishing in December of this year that will focus on applications and innovations in model-based meta-analysis, or MBMA. Before we dive into that theme, Jonathan, can you talk a bit about how PSP chooses its yearly theme? What's the thought process behind selecting specific topics?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the thought process is really to pick topics that are timely, relevant to the aims and scope of the journal and the readership. The process often involves the discussions among the associate editors, the editors-in-chief, and the journal staff among topics that have typically among topics that have been proposed by the associate editors that we think based on what's reading in the literature, the kinds of work that we're working on, and what's topics that we're seeing coming out of conferences. Occasionally, we'll get topics that are proposed outside of the group of associate editors, like the case for this MBMA proposal that was brought forward to us by several of the folks we'll be talking to today.
Thanks, Jonathan. And I'd also like to mention that we do have another call for papers open at the moment, submissions for our fourth quarter 2025 themed issue on model-based innovations in pediatric rare disease are due May 15th, and you can find more information about that call on our website. Phyllis, give me a quick rundown on MBMA. Meta-analyses play a large part in pharmacological research. How do model-based applications expand this work, and what role do they play in pharmacometrics and systems pharmacology?
So meta-analysis itself is a statistical method that has been pretty well accepted by both the FDA and EMA to help support drug development. And basically, this approach summarizes the evidence across multiple trials and compare between the treatments. And it is considered the highest level of evidence in the hierarchy of evidence-based medicine. Model-based meta-analysis brings to the table is that instead of only being able to summarize trials with very similar patient population and study design as being used in traditional meta-analysis, MBMA actually leverages the diversity of available data. And this incorporates the data into models with some pharmacological assumptions. And for example, dose or exposure response, and then also patient characteristics as covariates. So in a sense, we could incorporate the differences between the trials to help explain the differences we see in the efficacy and safety outcome variabilities. And what this translates to is to be able to estimate a more precise treatment effect. And in addition to that, MBMA can utilize trials with different treatment durations by making assumptions and developing models about the longitudinal profiles of a disease. So in essence, MBMA is trying to incorporate the totality of evidence as much as possible. And because MBMA can be such a powerful tool, there was a survey done and about half of the pharmaceutical or biotech companies surveyed reported to use MBMA routinely to justify dose selection of their molecules.
Thank you. That was a very great background. Jiawei, you were part of the journal's 2024 annual strategy meeting during which this theme was selected. Why did PSP decide to focus on MBMA in 2025?
Sure. Model-based meta-analysis, or we say MBMA, has gained significant attention in recent years, with numerous fascinating studies showing its potential to generate valuable insights across diverse therapeutic areas. As the field continues to evolve, we believe this is the perfect time to look into this topic, exploring its applications, recent advancements, and future opportunities. By discussing MBMA, we aim to highlight its role in improving decision-making in drug development and improving patient outcomes.
Thanks, Jiwei. And Monica, what types of papers, articles, reviews, etc., are you hoping researchers will submit? Are there any particular applications of or research into MBMA that's piquing your interest at the moment?
Thank you for the question, Elena. We are hoping to see different types of papers. Of course, original research articles presenting new data and findings from primary research are at the core of the interest. Please consider that new findings could also be represented by novel methodologies in the MBMA workspace. We also hope to see review articles which summarize and critically evaluate the current state of art in MBMA by highlighting crucial developments as well as investigation areas and proposing future directions. And although the methodology in itself is not recent, the inclusion of educational articles providing practical tutorial on the methodology would be of great utility for the scientific community and would encourage more people to leverage external available data in drug development. These type of articles could also be integrated by hands-on material for the benefit of the reader. And in addition, the editors of the themed issue will write an editorial on the selected articles. As regards my personal interest, I am willing to see MBMA embodied into high-impact decision-making throughout drug development, especially in application where other approaches might have limitations. And these examples could range from study design, dose selection, go-no-go based on probability of success, and bridging indications, endpoints, and molecules. And another topic of rising interest is the integration of individual patient data with average level data in the same MBMA and all related aspects in terms of parameter estimation and covariate modeling.
Thank you. I was particularly glad to hear you mention tutorials, as that's a major focus of PSP and something we try to bring to our readers on a regular basis. And of course, we're all excited for the editorial. Those always sum up our themed issues very nicely. Matt, what about you? What are you hoping to see in this issue, and what do you think readers should be looking forward to?
Yeah, I really agree with Monica and echo a lot of her sentiments. I think I'm most excited to see real life cases where MBMA has had a major impact on decisions and drug development in a way that can really expose the true value of what this type of work can do, MBMA, and as well as the type of data that are analyzed, summary level clinical trial results. Also, the educational materials, I think, is critical. Having some tutorials and also the hands-on sharing code, so showing people how you actually do the work. And I think a lot of people do well to understand thought processes through code. But also looking into a bit broader application of MBMA. So I know we tend to focus on pharmacometric applications of MBMA, but very interested to see how it might be applied beyond that. Health economics, outcomes research, reimbursement decisions, as well as even sit acquisition or investment decisions for new compounds or business development type work. Also, the engagement and acceptance of meta-analysis as supportive evidence in regulatory documents and regulatory interactions. Would love to see a bit more of that, where it's happening, if it's available. And then I think finally, looking at clinical trial, summary level clinical trial data as a complementary approach to what a lot of development has happened around real world data. Using this as an alternate data set to real world data to really answer or address similar questions, specifically like synthetic control arms, right? So I think there's a lot that's going on in the community, and excited to see what can get submitted.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that was great how you kind of took us from bench to budget up to bedside there with everything that you want. And the You're talking about sort of real world examples and things like that. That plays right into one of the cornerstones of ASCPT, which is to maintain our patient focus throughout all of the work that we do, which is, it's very important to us. It's very important to the journals as well. So, Jonathan, what's the value in submitting for a themed issue? Why would you wait to publish in a specific issue, especially one at the end of the end of this year, if you have research ready now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think there are probably a couple of reasons that authors might want to think about submitting their manuscript to be part of this themed issue rather than waiting if they have research that's ready now. By having multiple research articles, tutorials, and editorials, as we've talked about, all published together, I think that these themed issues tend to draw readers who are interested in these particular topics. And so as a result, articles that are published as part of these themed issues may get a higher level of visibility and then kind of then be published in a standard kind of stand as a standalone article in a regular issue. It also allows them to kind of position their research or see have their research viewed in the context of lots of other work that's going on at the same time, whether it's original research, other original research, or tutorials or editorials. But one of the great features about an online journal like PSP is that authors can submit their research now, go through the review process, and if their article is accepted, can be made available online in a timely fashion, typical standard timeframe that available to them on publication process, and without really waiting for the themed issue itself to. At the same time, when the theme issue does come out, it gets packaged up with these other articles, tutorials, and editorials as a package.
Those are great points, and I will also say that we definitely on our end do our best to promote these themed issues on social media. I mean, obviously we're doing this podcast right now to promote the call for papers. We will do another podcast when the issue publishes to kind of wrap things up. And as GOA knows, since as an editor in training, social media is one of her responsibilities. We push them a lot on social media as well. So, GOA, thank you in advance for helping us promote this. Speaking of GOA, is there anything else you think people should know before submitting?
Sure, I'd like to share a formatting tip for authors that can significantly help streamline the review process. Adding line numbers to your submitted manuscripts is a simple step that can save reviewers a considerable amount of time. It's a small detail, but can greatly enhance the efficiency and clarity of the peer review process. And I would also like to call if you have the expertise in MBMA and would like to serve as a reviewer, please reach out.
Yes, line numbers, as small as it may seem, are something that have been specifically requested by more than one member of our editorial board. So you'd be doing me a huge favor personally and the rest of journal staff if you would include those. Also, an excellent point about serving as a reviewer for this issue, particularly, in pharmacometrics, the field is somewhat small, and if we know in advance that you would like to participate in the review process, that's a great advantage to us. So if you do want to review for this issue, please get in contact with journal staff, specifically our senior editorial coordinator, Amy Green. Her email is aimee@ascpt.org, and she'd be happy to get you set up in our system. Anything else anyone would like to mention before we wrap up today?
Yeah, reiterate my excitement to see the issue.
Absolutely.
All right. The only other thing I will say before I close this out is please submit for this issue. And if you have questions, please feel free to get in touch. I want to thank you all so much for joining me today. I'm taking the time out of your day to come talk about this issue. We appreciate your time on this podcast, but also in putting this issue together. You guys have been great. This call for papers is available on the ASCPT website and will also include a link in the description of this episode. All submissions are due by June 15th, 2025. So if you have any questions about manuscript types or submitting to PSP, please feel free to contact PSP's managing editor, Alethea Girding, at alethea@ascpt.org. That's alethea@ascpt.org. Thank you for listening to PS Pod. Be sure to check out past episodes while you're here. And remember to visit ascpt.org for updated podcast releases, our latest webinars, and the most recent issue of all three journals.